Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading on Friday, January the 1st, 2016. Hello and welcome. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com. I'd like to be joined, as always, by Get Reading's Charles Watts. Charles, hello. How are you?
Dan, I'm very good. How are you?
Not so bad, thanks. And just a day off today, so I'm sat watching England struggle a bit in the cricket. But other than that, not bad. Not bad.
Good, good. I can think of worse ways to spend Friday than sitting watching the cricket from the Wanderers.
Well, quite. And after a week in which it's not been too bad to be a Reading fan, to be honest. Two draws, one in the cup, one in the league. And generally, do you think Reading have got what they deserve from the last 7 days?
I think it's been quite mixed now. I mean, I think it's been an encouraging week. I think there's been a lot to take from kind of both performances, really. I thought, we'll start with Huddersfield. It was a strange game, actually. You know, I sort of came away from it not quite knowing how to feel from that one, because for 70 minutes I thought Reading were poor and deservedly losing, and then Vidra scored his goal, and suddenly that last 20 minutes Reading started playing like the team I'd seen earlier in the season. They were attacking well. Piazzanog came on and completely changed the way Reading were playing. They suddenly had a link between midfield and attack, and they looked dangerous every time they went forward, and it was no surprise to see them suddenly take the lead. And you thought, here we go, we've booked our place in the fourth round, but not to be, in a very strange sort of game. They gave away a last-minute penalty and 2-2, which was probably a fair result, given how I thought Huddersfield dominated the first 70 minutes. But it was encouraging signs in that, and I thought they took that into Derby. Obviously, I wasn't at that one. I was looking after my ill daughter, so Jonathan was a man up there. But I watched the highlights and obviously spoke to Jonathan, spoke to people who were there, and it just sounded like a very, very good performance, and Reading were very unlucky to come away from it without... Yeah. 3 points.
Absolutely. Everybody was there, including our own match reporter, said how well Reading played and that they possibly even deserve more from the game. You look at the match stats and they certainly seem to back that up. You know, Reading out shooting one of the teams, you know, the second place in the league, and they'd only lost once at home this season. Fantastic result in isolation, but again, you do have that little nagging feeling of, oh, I've only been able to nick a winner. But, you know, they kept their unbeaten run in 2016 going, and they're just slowly starting to build some momentum.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. There is signs of momentum building there. You just get the impression what Brian's trying to do. He's doing it very slowly. He's not tried to change a whole lot, but it just seems like he's rejigged things slightly. I mean, what he's done with Lucas Piazon seems to be certainly working. You know, Piazon was fantastic by all accounts up at Derby, ran the show, and I thought he was superb when he came on against Huddersfield. And I spoke to Brian about him yesterday, actually. Brian said he is number 10. If he's going to play, he's got to be playing number 10. He's not a winger. And which I completely agree with. The only problem with that is obviously you kind of think, where does Stephen Quinn fit into it if Piazon's playing, as on Tuesday Quinn suddenly found himself on the bench and Piazon started, and you wonder if he's going to play a 10, someone's going to have to miss out, and at the moment it might be Quinn because he's liking Robson-Kanu as well. So there's a lot of things for him to work out, but you just get the sense, like you said, that he's beginning to piece things together a little bit and know where he wants his players to play, and they seem to be buying into it, and the performances, they're encouraging, but he's not getting the wins yet. Obviously he's got a couple, but you look at these two games in a week and they could easily walked away with 2 wins out of 2, and they didn't. They got no wins out of 2, so there's obviously a lot of work still to be done, but like you said, I think it's encouraging.
Well, you mentioned building things. Obviously it's a transfer window and Brian's got an opportunity to add to his squad, or let some go if he doesn't feel they're up to it. The sort of names that have been mentioned, there's a lot of forwards being mentioned. We'll come on to some specific names in just a moment. Do you think that's where the missing piece is? Do you think it is up front?
Well, I think when you look elsewhere in the team, there's not really much you would change at the moment. I think they're fairly solid at the back. You know, I think the fullbacks are decent enough. Obviously, actually saying that, I'd sign a new goalkeeper, but I wouldn't be surprised if we have to wait until the summer until that one happens. And central midfield, they're very well stocked. I think Ollie Norwood, who's obviously Brian rates very highly, he's given him the captaincy, one with Shane's out. Danny Williams scoring goals for midfield now. Very good player. You know, people like Stephen Quinn, Piazon, as I said, plenty of wingers. Ola John's back from injury now. We've barely seen Hurtado. So I think up front, just given that they've lost their top goal scorer, it's a position where they would be looking to bring someone in. It's a position, they are looking to bring someone in. So I think that is probably at the moment the priority for them, given what's happened with Nick Blackman. So it's no real surprise that most of the names being linked are forwards.
Just touching on the goalkeeping issue, do you feel a little bit sorry for Jonathan Bond? It certainly seems now that with 3 games in a row that Ali Alhabsi is Brian McDermott's preferred goalkeeper. Do you feel a little bit sorry for him?
No, I think he's very much at the moment either a number two goalkeeper or should be playing on loan somewhere else. I think it's just a little bit early for him. I think he's a very good goalkeeper, a talented goalkeeper who Reading, you know, could well be very lucky to have and they need to work on. But I just think it was very early for him to come into this club at his age, having barely played any football, to suddenly go in and be a number one goalkeeper. It was a big ask for him. And I think he still needs to develop. And so, no, I don't think he's that unlucky to be currently be number two.
Fair enough. Well, let's move on to some of those transfer rumours then. We'll start with Connor Washington. We touched on it in last week's show. We were waiting for Darren McAntony to make his Twitter update announcement, the Peterborough owner. He's given that. He gave that about an hour or so after we went off the air. What did he have to say?
Well, he had to say that he's rejected an awful lot of bids. I think he said there was three bids in 3 days he received and rejected all three of them. Didn't name names, obviously. You got the impression that one of them was certainly Reading. I thought the third one possibly was Reading. I think
a recent Premier League club, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, something like that. And I think QPR was probably one as well. But I mean, we're all guessing at who they are. But I think Reading are certainly interested. I think it did reek a little bit of setting up a bit of a bidding war because he was very adamant he's not going to be shortchanged. He seems to be very adamant he's going to get what price he wants for him. But by all accounts, the noises coming out of Peterborough is that they are expecting him to leave this window. So I think now he's just trying to drum up as much possible interest as he can. And why wouldn't he? That's his job. He's the chairman. He wants to make as much money for his football club. But whether Reading are going to be, A, financially strong enough to compete with some of the other clubs who appear to be looking at Connor Washington, especially if it does go to a bit of a bidding war, it remains to be seen. I mean, the interest is there. They do want him. They've spoken to Peterborough about him. But whether they can get that one over the line, I think we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, another striker who's probably a little bit more in the price range is Bournemouth's Jan Kermagant. Seems to be a strong link with this one, Charles. How likely do you think this one's to come off?
Yeah, I mean, it's stronger than a strong link. They are talking to Bournemouth about trying to get him in, and it's been going on. They have been speaking throughout the week. I mean, from what I understand, no fee has yet been agreed, and Bournemouth are not willing to let him go on loan. I don't think Reading would want him on loan anyway. I could see this one being a sort of 18-month contract for Jan if he did come in. They want him, again, what I understand, he's pretty keen on a move to Reading. There are plenty of Championship clubs interested in him, but I think he's quite set on, if he is going to move, that Reading could well be his destination. So there's legs in this one. Whether, again, you know, the clubs have got to agree a fee, and whether that happens, we'll have to wait and see, because given his age, Reading won't, I imagine, aren't going to be willing
he's
to...
He's what, 34 now?
34, yeah. Reading aren't going to be willing to be paying out too much money for him, given that they're probably going to have to hand him an 18-month contract as well. So, but Bournemouth, from all accounts, don't want to give him away cheaply. They only gave him a new contract in the summer, I think, so till 2017. So they still consider him a decent player and a good player. And look at what he did last season for them. That's no surprise. So I think the clubs are a little bit apart in terms of what the fee may well be. But I think it's certainly a strong possibility that Reading could get him. They do want him. And like I said, he's pretty keen to make the move.
Yeah, well, Bournemouth obviously being very busy in this transfer window. Yeah. They've signed Lewis Graben and Benik Afobe for what a combined £15-16 million. Not to mention they've got Callum Wilson ready to come back. They signed Glenn Murray as well. They are stocked with attacking talent down
there.
They
certainly are. And you look at people like Max Gradle to come back, obviously, yeah, an out striker as well, but, you know, a very attacking footballer. And so, yeah, they're very well stocked in that position.
Yeah, certainly making a good go of it to survive. Well, the other name that's been strongly linked in the past week, or not so strongly linked, I'll let you decide that, is Steve Sidwell, obviously former Reading midfielder, now at Stoke. Apparently a bidding war between, well, not a bidding war, but a competition between Fulham and Reading for his signature on loan. Does this one have any legs, Charles?
Well, I spoke to Brian about it yesterday and asked him directly, you know, because he said after the game at Huddersfield that he sort of seemed to soften a little bit about bringing loan players in. He said that if someone did become available, he thought they could make a difference, and he would look at it despite the problems of having six already. And so I asked him directly about it on Thursday about Sidwell. You know, he said he loves Sidwell. He's a club legend. But he said if he was looking to strengthen in that position, given the fact that how well stocked he is in central midfield, that possibly a younger midfielder that they could develop over the next sort of year or so would be someone that they'd be looking to bring in. So he certainly distanced himself without denying it and ruling it out completely. He distanced himself from bringing Steve back.
Any other transfer sort of rumours or whispers you've heard, or even any business out of the football club this window?
No, not at the moment. I mean, I still think we'll have to keep a close eye on what happens on Simon Cox. I can't I don't see him having a future here during the second half of the season, especially if they do bring a couple more forwards in this window, which, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it is, you know, if they sign Kermigan, I wouldn't be surprised if they end there in terms of their, what they're trying to do with forwards. So I could still see someone else coming in, a younger striker, possibly a Connor Washington perhaps as well. And so if they do sign one, maybe two strikers, I could see Simon Cox again heading out and sort of bringing the curtain down on what you've got to say probably a fairly unsuccessful return to the club.
Good first 6 months. So yeah, you won that first six, but after that, especially when Steve Clark came in, it just all fell apart.
It did. It all just suddenly dried out. I remember speaking to him after, I think he'd scored his eighth goal of the season last season, which was, you know, well before, I think it was November or possibly December, something like that. And at the time, saying, you know, eight goals already, you must be, you know, setting yourself a target of around 20 for this season. And he was saying, yeah, I very much am. And it looked like he might go on and achieve that, but lo and behold, he didn't score again. It was just strange how it all just suddenly stopped happening for him.
Well, he's not completely in the cold. Obviously, he's been on the bench for the last few games. So that sort of suggests that Brian's, you know, tempted to give him a look in. But yeah, as you say, they do sign a couple of strikers, that'll be the position they're taking.
Yeah, you got to think. And there's a potential for Samuel to come back as well, possibly in January. Although, again, I think if they do get a couple of forwards over line, maybe even one forward over line this window, that you'll see that loan extended till the end of the season.
Just touching on those younger players, is there anyone that's either been out on loan or hasn't really got a look in that you might like to see a little bit more in the second half of the season?
Well, I'd like to have seen Fosu, you know, given what I was so impressed with him pre-season. I thought he was excellent, and the way he played that game against Derby at the end of last season where he just showed no fear whatsoever. But, you know, it just seems like he's fallen down the pecking order a little bit. He's back now from Fleetwood, and he was involved with the under-21s last week. And again, I asked Brian directly about him yesterday, and Brian said, you know, he'd like to see him really sort of pushing him hard to try and get within the around the first-team picture, but don't get the impression that's happening at the moment. So I think out of the current youngsters, I'm not sure we're going to see anyone really sort of making their breakthrough during the second half of the season.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember, but from what I can recall in his last spell in charge, I don't think Brian was overly keen to bring through younger players and give them first-team best. He was obviously keen to see them go out on loan, and he put faith in those that had a bit of first-team experience, but there's not a massive, he hasn't got a massive track record at bringing them through, so I think he does prefer them to go and sort of learn their mistakes, as it were, elsewhere. So I suppose you can't argue, as long as they come back better players, and it'll benefit Reading long-term.
I think with someone like Foster as well, it kind of depends over the next month of the season, because we should know within 4 weeks, really 5 weeks, Reading's potential to make a late sort of dash for the playoffs. I think it's sort of the end of February, you're going to know one way or the other, aren't you, if Reading still have any sort of chance of getting into that top six. And if they haven't, then maybe that's the time to start looking at someone like Foster for next season, given that maybe the player who's playing out on the left wing at the moment, Robson Carney, you've got to think is not going to be here next season. It would be a surprise if he is here next season. So possibly you could look at Fosu then for the last month and a half of the campaign to really have a go and try and make that left wing position his own.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Robson. I was going to come on to Robson Carney and Chris Gunter, because they're the two big names out of contract. Has Ryan talked any at all about re-signing those two?
No, I asked Brian Kennick about contract situation yesterday, and he fobbed me off pretty bluntly, just saying that's between the club and the player, and that sort of thing's private. So
how very dare you ask him about such things?
I know. So yeah, no, not really getting it. I actually spoke to Robson Carney about that, and you know, he's still waiting, and he was, you know, again batting everything away with a fairly firm bat. I mean, you just get the impression he's coming to the end of his time at Reading. I don't think anyone's going to be surprised if he decides to sort of make the next step in his career and bring down his time. Well, both, in the summer.
Well, both men have got a great shot window this summer, with hopefully both being part of the Wales squad at Euro 2016.
I want Gunner to.
Yeah.
I really think they should get Gunner nailed down. A lot of people divided on Gunner. I think he's a decent right back, and Redden will be pushed to find a better right back than him in the Championship, especially, and you know, they'll have to spend quite a bit of money to do that if they want to get someone as good as Gunner. So I would. If I was them, I would certainly be pushing hard to getting him tied down to a new deal.
Well, we had a piece, an opinion piece from Becker on Chris Gunter, sort of asking, and we had a poll at the end asking fans, you know, what did they want to do with him? I think it was around 35% said just give him whatever he wants to make him stay. The large majority, about 50 or so, were saying, you know, offer him a new deal, but we can't be sort of held hostage by it. And then I think there was only sort of about 10% that wanted him gone, either cashed in on now or in the summer. I just get the feeling that this is a big, big deal for Chris Gunter. That he's, what, 27 now. He will be playing in European Championships. He spent the last 3-4 years at Reading. I get the feeling he's going to want a big contract here. And with Reading having just one season left of parachute payments, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to keep up with what he wants. I mean, I'm not saying by any stretch he's a greedy player, but as I said, this is his big contract for him as a professional, and I'm not sure if Reading are going to be able to commit that sort of money to a right back.
I agree with you. I certainly don't think they should be held to ransom over it, but yeah, I completely agree. This will be a big move for Gunner. I mean, this could be his last really big contract if he gets one. Like you said, his age, if he can sort of earn himself a 3-year deal, possibly a 4-year deal with someone. And he's got, like you said, he's got the short window of the European Championships to come. In the next 3 or 4 years, he's probably going to become Wales's most capped player ever. So he is, yeah, it is a big deal for him. It's not going to be easy for Edinburgh to tie him down, but I'd really like them to do it.
Yeah, same. I'd very much like to see him stick around. I think he's a fine fullback. I'm not his biggest fan going forward, but defensively he's good. He's solid. He's a nice bloke on and off the pitch.
Doesn't miss any games either.
No, exactly.
It's Mr. Dependable. You don't get too many of those at the moment. So, I would love to see him get a new deal.
Absolutely, same here. Right, moving on then to the weekend. We travel to the MK Dons for our first competitive game at Stadium MK. Just a fair warning, I'll be attending this one, and I don't think I've seen Reading win away for about 3 years, so apologies in advance. But
have you heard that they're splitting the away end into two ends or something for this game?
No, I'm aware I'm in the lower tier. That's about all I know.
I just saw a few people. I haven't actually looked into it. I just saw a few people complaining on Twitter that the away end's going to be at different ends of the ground.
That would be quite surreal. I think they only had about 10,000 in there at midweek. So
maybe people are getting confused. And like you said, it's just upper and lower tier. But it sounded strange to me when I saw some people mentioning it.
Well, at least they'll be attacking their own fans in both halves, if that's the case.
That's the case, because there's a good couple of thousand going. So yeah, it should be a very good away sport.
Absolutely. I said when day trippers like myself are there, you know it's going to be a big day out. Anyway, we do head there. The MK Dons obviously coming off an absolute thumping. They were beaten 5-0 at home by Burnley in midweek. They're down in around the relegation zone. On paper, this should be 3 points for Reading, but we know the Championship. It's cliche, but there's no easy games. What do you expect from them this weekend?
Well, like I said, it's true that if they harbour any hopes of still getting towards the playoffs, they need to be winning this game. Given the fact that MK Dons are going to be, confidence is going to be very low, having been hammered in front of their own supporters midweek. So yeah, I'd expect 3 points for Reading. And Reading should go there in confident mood as well. Like you said, they were excellent at Derby in midweek. Got themselves a decent enough draw last weekend at Huddersfield, unbeaten in 2016. So they should go there full of confidence. It's just a matter of scoring goals. And are they going to score enough goals to win games at the moment?
And obviously keeping out the very real threat of Simon Church.
Yes.
Number one priority.
The very real threat of set pieces, which is just Reading's biggest Achilles heel at the moment.
Absolutely.
I couldn't believe that Derby goal when I saw it in midweek. It's bad enough when someone's left for a free header 6 yards from a corner, but for someone to just be able to side foot the ball in from 6 yards from a corner, it's just...
Well, Cooper was on the deck, and I don't know why or how.
It just went horribly wrong. Really got to sort that out. But no, I'm expecting a win on Saturday. Like I said, probably not a massive high scoring one, but I would expect Reading to get 3 points.
Okay then, business time, prediction league. Now, do you have something to say for this? Now, I forgot to get in touch with you, Charles, before this game. You heard us say on the podcast last week I'd get in touch with you before the game. I forgot, and I did the same for Johnny as well. But because I'm a really nice, trusting bloke, I came to you and said, what would you have said before the game? And what did you say to me?
I said I'd said draw.
Yeah.
I actually would have said 1-1 as well, but I told you not to put me down for that, just to give me 1 point. If you look at my tweet just before kickoff, 5 minutes before kickoff, I said feeling confident about this one. And Reading just always do well at their derby. I had a really good feeling they weren't going to lose. I wouldn't have thought they were going to win, I have to say. So I would have gone for a draw, and I'm pretty sure I would have said 1-1 in that draw. But I will, just put me down for a point.
We have done just that. That point does take you top of the league, though. It puts you a point ahead of me. You are on 18, I'm on 17, Johnny's on 14, Westy on 11, Handbags on 8. All of the rest of us predicted doom at Derby. As for the MK Dons, me and Johnny have both gone for 3-1 wins. Westy's saying 1-1, and Handbags has said 2-0 Reading. So what say you?
I was going to say 2-0. What's Handbags on?
I think you're massively clear of Handbags, so I'll worry about that.
I'll go with 2-0.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Yeah, you're 10 points clear, so I think you can... afford to share the points should they win 2-0.
Okay, yeah, so I'll go for 2-0.
There you go. We've all predicted a positive result, so you know what happens then. Just after that, then, obviously, it's the replay against Huddersfield on Tuesday at the Mad Stad. Shockingly not picked for TV coverage. I know why. The winner will face Walsall. So a bit of a 2001 grudge match on the cards, if we get through that. Did you see Reading pipping Huddersfield to this one? Did you see anything from Huddersfield to scare you?
Well, yeah, I thought they played well, Huddersfield. I thought they deserved to win, apart from mostly the last 20 minutes. And Reading, they did great against Huddersfield, to be fair. I've seen them in the last few years. I think what was 2-0 early in the season in the league. Reading were poor that day. I thought Huddersfield deserved the win, but Ola John got them a late equaliser. I think they won recently, didn't they? The day that Norwood was watching in the stands.
Yeah, 2-1.
Before he signed, yeah. Narky Wells always scores against Reading. So, yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not full of confidence looking at previous results against Town. But, you know, Reading have got a great chance here to get to the fifth round when you look at... They got home draw again. They got a replay at home against Huddersfield and then the possibility... Well, no, it would be a home against Walsall in the fourth round. It's a great chance to have a good cup run again, given what happened last year. So, it's there for the taking, basically, and I think I'll certainly predict Reading will beat Huddersfield one way or the other, but I don't think it'll be easy.
Yeah, I would also predict a win. Just for fun, we'll give our predictions, and I think Reading are going to win this 2-1 for you.
Penalties.
We're not penalties.
Yeah.
It's making everyone stay late. No one wants that.
No one does want that.
Right, well, that just about wraps up the show this week. As always, you can follow Charles on Twitter at Charles_Watts. You can follow us at the Tarlhurst End. Once you head over to getreading.co.uk, lots of content up in the week. Are you web chatting today, Charles?
I am web chatting today, yes. I'll be popping downstairs to start preparing it as soon as I put the phone out to you.
What time can people join you?
1 p.m. I think it will be today.
1 p.m. That should be, we should get this hopefully up before then. So yeah, go in and tune in. Obviously, I'm sure you might get one or two questions on transfers.
I imagine I certainly will.
Well, anyway.
Tend to be the way during January.
Absolutely. Well, head over to getreading.co.uk for that. In the meantime, head over to thetarlhurstend.com. You can read that opinion piece and vote on what you think Reading should do with Chris Gunter and lots of other great bits and pieces as well. Again, a massive thank you to everyone who's helping support us through the crowdfunding campaign. Hats off and thanks to you. In the meantime, Charles, thanks very much for joining us. And hopefully we'll speak to you next week when we can look ahead to a next round of the Cup. And a first league away win, I think, since, what, October, September?
That would be nice.
Yeah. Nice. Nice to be rewarded.
Indeed. All right, Dan, we'll take it easy, mate. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Take care, Charles. Ta-da.
Bye-bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter.
At the Tarlhurst End.
And facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.